Open our soul, open our heart to receive your word and receive your teaching. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to heal Dr. Jim's foot.
Amen. Well, I'm going to bring you a little something different tonight. Hello, Eric. We don't usually do this, but I'm going to bring this into you just a little bit. Brother Roger, come right up here with me, if you don't mind, for just a minute.
This is a very small clip.
This is a real Hebrew grammar. This is real Hebrew grammar. This is Kyle M. Yates, and Yates and Owens. And it goes into Biblical Hebrew. Modern Hebrew, as you know now, is not like Biblical Hebrew. They're a whole different story. I mean, they're all... Modern Hebrew is much different as modern Greek is with Biblical Greek. There's a lot of difference in it. The tenses and the voices, the modes, are pretty sloppy in Hebrew today. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in Greek. But in the old languages, it's very perfect. And it goes in here and it tells you about the stems of the verb, and all that. And of course you have a vocabulary, and it has endings, which I'm going to bring a little bit of the endings in. We're far enough in to where I'm going to start doing things and have you come up and look in the analytical Hebrew lexicon. All right. And here is the Hebrew alphabet, of course, and it goes from the old Hebrew alphabet. The modern Hebrew is a little more sloppy than Biblical Hebrew. And let's go over the alphabet. You haven't been in. Have you had any Hebrew at all? Nothing. All right. The Aleph. Let's see if I have any. I hope I do. I'll hand them out if I do. I'm crippling around on one foot because of that foot operation this week. I don't see it. Thank you, brother, for coming up here. I wanted to show this to you while you were here. I don't have it with me. And I can see, I think it's in my other book. The Aleph. There's Aleph. That's the A in Hebrew, okay? Brother Roger, do you remember what the ancient sign of the Aleph is?
The ox.
That's the ancient sign of Hebrew. You go back into this is what we call actually even pre-biblical. Okay? But before, goes way back to Moses and during that period of time, way, way back into the early Hebrew. I talked this morning in my classroom a little bit. I need to get to... Could you put your name on the last page of this also? And your address, if you don't mind. The scholastic world has the origin of the Old Testament in Babylonia. That's basically what if you go to college, they're going to tell you that the Bible was written over there during the Babylonian captivity. That's not true. They were in Israel long before that. And they had the Old Testament scriptures. We have the Old Testament scriptures quoted and quoted and quoted all the way through the Old Testament history. There are two books that predate the book of Genesis. What are they?
Job
was one. Okay, but that's a biblical book. What are the two non-biblical books that predate the book of Genesis?
The book of Enoch.
The book of Enoch. And Hasepher Yosef.
Yes, sir.
The book of Jasher. All right, the book of Jasher. Anyway, they will tell you that the Hebrew Old Testament was written over there. I try to write Hebrew so you can read it better than if Brother Roger is helping me print, I'm running out of hand, and my hands are so crippled up now that it's hard for me to write. And I'm rewriting the book of Exodus again, and Roger's helping me do that from about chapter 12 or something onward, 12 or somewhere around there. So you'll be seeing his handwriting. I've changed it a little bit to make it correspond to what you have so far. Now, the olive, the sign of that is a head of an ox, and it means first. It means first. In the Greek language, the first letter is Alpha. And Jesus said he is Alpha and Omega, does he not? And he is also Aleph and Tau. He's the Alpha and Omega, or the Aleph and Tau of the Old Testament, and the Alpha and Omega of the New Testament. Okay? And the sign of the direct object is Aleph and Tau, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? And then you have a babe. I make it like that with a foot on it. And the mean looks a lot like that if you're not careful. And in a lot of Hebrew writings, I've seen they threw you a curve two or three times in your transcribing because you can't hardly tell the mean from the bath in some Hebrew printing. Or even the gemel is a lot like it. So you've got to make it, and I make it distinctly different so you won't have a mistake. The bath now, what does that mean?
House.
All right? When you have a bath, in Hebrew, means house. Okay? And then father is Abba. Abba is what? The head of the house. That's what it means in Hebrew. The head of the house. Aleph and Beit. Abba. Okay? And then we have the gemel. The gemel. And this is why I make a gemel, is like this, with a foot on the back of it. And I leave this little bit of curvature in there, so when you see that, you will not mistake it for a bait, and you won't mistake it for a neem. All right? Now, the gemel means what?
Sharon.
Gemel.
Does not know.
Dakota.
You said it last week.
You did last week. What does camel mean?
Oh, yeah.
Gift. Gift. All right, Gamaliel. All right. The gemel means camel. All right? It means camel. It's got the idea of camel. And then we have Dalet. Is this helping you guys any? All right, the Dalet. The Dalet. What is the Dalet?
Doorpost.
Doorpost. All right, that's the doorpost, the Dalet. They put blood on the doorpost and on the header. All right? The Dalet is the doorpost. And then we have a hay. Hay. Say hay. Hay. Hay is what? Window. Window. That's the window of the house. The window of the house. That's the hay. All right, now we have a wow. And the modern, they don't call this a wow. They call it a bah. A bah. All right. The biblical is wow. And they said they got that wow. They say the biblical scholars got the wow from Germany. Can a German say a wow? He can't even say W. It's all Bob. Yeah. Wieder Koffer. All right. They can't even say that. All right. Wow. And what is that?
A nail.
It's a reaping hook. Like a scythe. A reaping hook. A reaping hook. Now here we have Zion. Zion. The Zion like this. That's like a Z. In Hebrew, okay? Zion. And what is that?
Is that the nail?
No. That's a weapon. Modern Hebrew has them as nail, okay? But it's a reaping hook.
Yeah.
It is this is old Hebrew now. We're going back thousands.
That's the sword, right?
Yes. This is a weapon. Yeah, it's a weapon, like a club or a sword. Okay? And then we have a chet. It looks like the hay, but it's a CH sound. CH. Instead of het, it's chet. All right? And what is that? That's a fence. That's a fence post. A fence is a line of this type of things. Fence. Okay? And then we have teth. And teth is, I want you to tell me what it is. What does that look like? That looks like a snake. That's a snake. See the snake? See the head of the snake? All right. And modern Hebrew, they forgot what it meant. But that's a snake. Okay? That's the sign of the snake. All right? And then we have a yod. Yod. What is that represent in the Bible? In Hebrew culture? Hold your hand up. The hand. That's the hand. The yod, the hand. Okay? Yadah. Hand. All right. That's the hand. And then the cough. What's the cough? That's the open hand. You have no weapon. Open hands, no weapon. Hand, yod, open hand, no weapons. The Indians, when they come in upon each other, they say, no hands, no weapons. Show you their hands, no weapons. Okay? No weapons. The open hand. And then lament. Lament. What is that?
Well, see, I thought that was the sickle, or the scythe.
That's a whip.
Oh, okay.
That's the whip. Now, in modern Hebrew, they may have got all mixed up.
No.
But this is old stuff.
It's all the same.
Oh, okay.
I haven't reversed.
Do what?
I haven't reversed.
Okay, all right. And then we have the neem. And, of course, there's finals in some of this. That's a neem. I make it very much like that. And then when I have the final neem, it's like this. I leave the little hook on the top of it. So you know that it's not a cough or a... There's three of them that look like that. So we want to make difference. We want to make them look different so you don't get confused. All right? And that neem is what? What does that neem?
Well, I know it's the letter N, but I don't know what it represents.
It means a fish.
Okay.
That's a fish. Okay? And then we have the thomach. Now, I make a thomach that looks like this. You know why I do that? Because the old Hebrew did it. And what does it mean? What's that look like? If you were out among the plains in the West, the Wild West, what'd that look like?
No.
A teepee. A teepee. And a teepee has props that holds the skins up. And that is a prop. That's a prop. That's what it means. A prop. The somic. And of course it's an S, all right, somic. And then we have the word ion. Ion. That's ion. And what does the ion mean? What does it mean in Hebrew? It's like some of these modern things that they got on television now. Eyes. Ion. Eye. It means eye. Eyes. With little sticks on. Like a lobster or a crawdad, crayfish, they have these little eyes in them. That's what it means, eyes. And then we have the word pay. 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 Pay is what? Mouth. And it's like a mouth. All right? And when it is a pay, it's got this in it also. And what does that represent? A tongue. Okay? The tongue in the mouth. And that's a hard P or a soft P, okay? And then we have the word sadhe. Sadhe. And sadhe has got eyes on it also. And that's a TS sound. A TS sound. And there's a final. That's the final right there. And the one that's in the word. All right, sadhe. And then we have koth. Koth.
Cove.
Oh, by the way, the Sahe means a fish hook. That's a fish hook. All right? And then the cove, what do you think the cove is there? What do you think that cove is?
Looks like a shepherd's staff, but I don't know.
How about the guy standing here, and that's the back of his head?
Okay.
The back of his head, that's what cove means. All right? And then resh. 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 Sometimes in the Hebrew printing, you don't know a resh from a nin or whatever. Resh. It means head. That means head. Rosh is head in Hebrew. Rosh. All right? Barashit. That means beginnings. That means the head. The head of all heads. All right? And what is the word... There's sin and shin. Sin and shin. All right? Sin and shin. Sin is this and shin is that. When that is above the right side, it means sh. And when it's over here, it's this si. Now, the modern Hebrew is hard to make any. There's a lot of S's in Hebrew, by the way. I hope I'm not boring you to death. And then tau. And the way you make a tau, so it doesn't look like that or that over here, you put a foot on it. And you go up here, and you put a crown on it. And you come down like that. And that's the way you'll see me making the crown. And I left out the mem, didn't I? We left out the mem. That's a mem. Right there, a mem. That's the word, that's a mem in a word, and then I make a mem at the end of the word, and it doesn't look like a psalmic. It looks like a mem. I do it a little different. Okay? So you can tell that it's really a mem. And the mem means what? What does a mem mean? Remember what that is? Maim? What's that?
Mai.
Mai is what?
Water.
Water. M means water. Mm-hmm. All right. And the tau means they have, by the way, the sin and shin means roots of the tooth. The roots of the tooth. All right. It kind of looks like the roots of the tooth, doesn't it? And then the tau is like a cross. Okay? Like a cross. So that's... And there's a doggish laney. When you see a doggish laney in the middle, the doggish laney in the middle or the bosom, like base, it turns from a V to a B. When it's without that, it is a V. When it has it in there, it's a B. And then you've got a doggish 40. Do they use those same terms in modern? Okay. The doggish 40 doubles it. It doubles the sound. Ba-ba. 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 Ba-boker. You would double it like that. Or you could have boker. Okay. It would be boker or boker. Now that's enough of that. All right. That gets you started just a little bit. All right. Now let's go to 9:15. Exodus 9:15. How do you say Exodus in Hebrew? How did the book of Exodus come from the Greek Septuagint? But what is the real proper Hebrew name for the book of Exodus? We Ele Shemot. Say we Ele Shemot. All right. And that means end these names. End these names. We Ele Shemot. End these names. All right, Ki, Atah, Shalakti, Et, Yadi, Waak, Oka, Weet, Amika, Bad, Dabar, Wati, Ka, Chad, Men, Haaris. All right. Ki, look at that key there. What's it got in the middle of it?
Doggish.
Okay, the doggish. All right. The doggish. There's a doggish 40 and a doggish lane. All right. This one makes it a little harder. Key. A sharp key. And then Atah. Look at the tau in the middle of the altar. What does that one? That one doubles it. All right? That one doubles the sound. So it has a double T. Ata. And then shalakti. Shalakti. And look at the tau at the end of that. Shalakti. See, that makes it a hard T instead of a double T. You can't hardly tell them unless you know what they are. And then we have et. It's not really et, it's et. It's like a TH sound. And then yodi. Yodi. Remember when we looked at the yod? What was the yod? Hand. So here we have yodi. That means hand. All right. Waak. Altika. Wiet. Amika. Badavar. Watika. Chad. Min. Haaretz. Because now I had stretched out. Look at that one there. That's the first person construct singular. Cal perfect. This is completed tense, isn't it? Because I had stretched out, perfect tense. Now, if you go into Brown, Driver, and Briggs there, you will go to page 1018 and it will have the word shalak. Look at the word down there below it. See what it has is shalak. It's a shin, lamet, and ket. That's the root of it. Most Hebrew words have three-letter roots. Okay? And then everything else is tells you everything else about it. That's what we call, it's an inflected language. Inflected language. What do we mean by an inflected language? ¿Cómo se llama?
So, it's conjugated to reflect the...
The person. Type. The person. Yeah. All right. If I say miha, what do I mean?
My daughter.
My daughter. Miho.
My son.
My son. That's inflected. Okay. And the same, how about Etta? Etta and Otto in German.
Yeah.
That's the same name. Etta and Otto. But one of them's man, Otto, and the other one is Etta, woman. Okay? Same thing. That's what we call inflected language. Greek is totally inflected. Even the does, the definite articles like the, they're inflected. You know exactly what part of speech, where it is, which eight cases in the Greek that it is, which eight cases of the nouns. All right? And Hebrew doesn't have all the cases like Greek does. Not as perfect a language, but Hebrew is a very powerful language in verbs. The verbs is what make up the Hebrew.
Because the root there, that means to leave, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It means to shoot out. This word here actually means to shoot a bowl or to throw a stone. That's what it literally means. But I stretched out my hand. I shot out my hand like an arrow. Like that. That's what it means. All right? I shot out et. And et has no translation except there's power coming here. That's what it means. There's power coming here. My hand. And I had smitten. And struck. I had smitten or struck you. All right? And your people. Now, that one is first-person construct singular for I had struck or smitten. Hithel, while consecutive and perfect. Now, what it means here is that it was a continuous process sometime. But it's usually in past tense. You. Otka. Otka. That tells you how many. Otka. And we et. Now, here we have a conjunction with a sign of the direct object. We et. The we is the construction, that's and. And the sign of the direct object, you don't translate except there's power coming this way. It's like a bullet coming at you. Oh, or an arrow. A tomahawk or something. Your people. Your people. Had davar. Bad davar. Bad davar. Bad, see that strong? Bait. It's not a V here, but it's a... And then we have the dalet with a double, it's doubled inside, it's strengthened, it's turned into a double. And then you have the soft bait there, which turns it into a V, and then you have the resh at the end of it. Ba-davar. Ba-davar. Or it would be ba-davar, but it's ba-davar because that bait, the second one there, is a soft one like a V. Okay? And then wa-tik, wa-tik, Ka-chad. Wapikachan. You have been hidden or destroyed. You have been removed. You have been effaced from man. That's preposition, page 580. And then ha is a definite article, and aretz is land. And what does aretz mean? What does aretz mean? There's dry ground. All right. You have been destroyed from the ground, from your land. What Jehovah is teaching Pharaoh here, Pharaoh, remember what Pharaoh means? Pharaoh. What does that mean?
The man in the big house.
All right. The man in the big house. What he's teaching him here, that he is stronger than all of his gods, that his gods mean nothing, that they're nothing, nothing but images. They have no power over Jehovah. We, Yulam. Ba'avur. Zot. Hi-i-ma-tika. Ba'avur. Harokika. Et, Kohi, Yuliman, Taper, Shami, Bikol, Ha'aretz. And this is unusual. And but. It's like an adversative conjunction here. And that would be in Hebrew, what would be the strong adversative conjunction? Page 15, by the way. What is that word? How would you translate this? Allah. That one would be Allah. Now, if it was a softer one, it would be they in Greek or Kai. There's now look how much there is in Greek. It delineates everything out to the finest degree. All right. All of these words, and that's the equivalent of this one, is like Allah in Greek, okay? And but, on the account of, for the sake of, that word there, that ba'avur, this, zot, this, I have preserved you. I have raised you up. I've kept you alive. I have kept you alive. You know, God was real merciful to Pharaoh. You know that? He gave him 10 chances to repent, and he kept hardening his heart, and then finally God really hardened his heart. He did the finishing touches. That's what we last week was studying, beyond the point of no return. And that was it. He went beyond the point of no return. He's done for. I mean, he was gospel hardened by that time. Remember, Brother Eric, you ever heard of gospel hardened people? They used to use that. Gospel hardened. They've heard the word of God so many times, they've refused the word of God, and they just got gospel hardened. All right, this word here. I have preserved you. First person construct singular, hifel, perfect with a suffix of second person masculine singular. All of that's in that Hebrew word right there. That's quite a word. He emadika. And emad is the root of it. Down there, that three-letter root. I have raised you up. I have preserved you. I've kept you alive. And then he says, Ba'avur. Say, Ba'avur. The Ba in the front of it, that's the preposition. Page 88. See that little thing down there? And then, for the sake of, in order of that, to cause you to see. To cause you to see. Ha-rotika. Ha-rotika. If you go back to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll find out that... I'll sit down for a minute or two. My imperfect foot is hurting me. you go back there where God told Abraham to go up to Mount Moriah, which is basically up there someplace near where that Mosque of Omar is, in Jerusalem, and to offer his son Yitzchak. What does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak. What? Yitzchak. That's Jacob.
Okay.
Oh, Yitzchak. It means laughter. It means sexual pleasure. It means intercourse. It means all of those things in ichik. Okay? That's the word. It means a spontaneous, glowing pleasure. Kissing, making love, laughing. Those are the things that it means. Okay. In where Isaac and Rebekah were over there, remember when they went to the same king that Abraham went to and tried to sell Sarah to him? He was over there. What was the king's name? Wasn't the same king, but
Abimelech.
What?
Abimelech.
What does Abimelech mean? Abba Melech. Father of the king. Father of the king. Abimelech means father of the king. All right. And that was a title. And so there were several of them. Abraham had been over there, and he took Sarah in there and sold her to him and to the king at that time, and he got in trouble. And now Yitzchak goes over there, and where he's out there in the garden, in the courtyard, making love to Rebekah. And he's Abimelech sees him. That's the term right there. That's the word Yitzchak. Is the root of that word. He's making love to her. And he sees that, and he said, that's not your sister. No way. You know, I saw you making love to her. Now, we have Isaac and Ishmael. What's Ishmael mean? Ishmael.
God heard you?
What?
Is it God heard
you? Uh-huh. God heard. Ishmael means God heard. Ishmael, God heard. Right. When Ishmael, it says in King James and some of the languages that he was sporting with Yitzchak. The term of that is the root of Yitzchak. He probably was sexually molesting him. And that's when Sarah did it. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Okay? And he did. Well, all of that is the root of Yitzchak. Okay? All of that's the root of Yitzchak. Now when Abraham was on Mount Moriah with Isaac, it says there, and they calls it Jehovah Jireh. Have you ever heard of that? Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? It translated that way, but what it actually says is the Lord was seen. The Lord was seen. Jehovah Christ in his pre-incarnate form was there on that mountain. And Abraham saw him. And the word means to see. It comes from this root right here. To see. Okay? To see or to show. To display physically. Alright? And the Lord was on that mount, and Abraham saw the Lord, and then literally it says the Lord saw to the sacrifice. I'm going to see to it. When you say, I'm going to see to something, what does it mean? I'm going to provide or I'm going to do it. But it literally means to see. The Lord was seen and the Lord saw to it. In that mountain, Abraham saw Jehovah. And then Jesus, in the Gospel of John, when he's debating with the Pharisees, he said, Abraham saw me or my day. And what did they say? Oh, they wanted to kill him because he said he was God. He said, I'm the one that he saw. I'm the one he saw. And they wanted to kill him. Alright? So here we have this word. In order that, I'm going to cause you to see. I'm going to display. I'm going to exhibit my power, my strength. Et kohi, my strength and my power. In order that, or for the purpose of, yuli ma'an, for the purpose of to declare or to recount, to make a physical historical record. Guess what? The Jews live off this book. This is their book. I mean, if they had to get rid of every book in the Bible, they'd hold on to the book of Exodus because that's the Jewish, that's their national anthem right there. The Shemot, the way out. Okay? To declare, or to recount, or have a physical record, and that's infinitive contract, PL stem. What's PL stem in Hebrew?
PL stem.
Shows power.
That shows a lot of strength and force and power. Shami means my name. Now the word Sham or Shem. If you take the first 10 names in the Hebrew Bible, Adam, Zeph, and you just keep on going down there, and keep on going down to Noah, it tells the whole story of salvation. The whole story, the whole gospel story. Okay? Each one of those names. The word Shem means what?
Monument.
Name, monument, or pillar. And every time in the Old Testament that God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, they did what? They met, they built a pillar or a monument or a Shem. And they were of the line of Shem. And Shem means name. All right? Shem means name. Through the line of Shem, God would make his name known. And they would be a monument in society. The Shemites would be. All right, how about the Japhethites? I talked about the whole history and population of all of the anthropological world when we went through the book of Genesis, didn't we? Who are the Japhethites? What does that name mean? Japheth. Now, we know that Abraham had a Japhethite wife, he had a Shemite wife, and he had a Hamite wife. All right? His first wife that produced was what? Hamite. She was Egyptian. All right? And that was Hagar. Hagar means what? Wanderer. Wanderer. All right? All right, now, Japhethite means spread out. Spread out. And then we have the word Ham. Ham. What does Ham? What does Ham mean?
Just dark.
Dark or hot. Dark or hot. That's what the Hamites. You will find in the Bible, in history, that the Japhethites and that the Shemites basically never invented anything. Zero. Zilch. The Hamites invented everything that's ever been invented. The Japhethites improved it. Writing was invented by the Hamites. Medicine was invented by the Hamites. Yeah. All of the musical instruments were invented by the Hamites. They were the greatest singers. All right? They were the greatest musicians of all time. They invented the medicine. And the Hamites go into the Asian race. Why, how many dark people do you have that have slanted eyes? Huh? Yeah. That's slanted eyes. That's where they come from. Those are Hamites. Okay? The Hamites were spread out. And the languages of Hamites were more confused than any of the other languages. And the Hamites would go out and they would be the trailblazers through the whole world. Everything from the Fertile Crescent on out, you'll find the Hamites way out yonder. All right? In America, in China, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, all those places. These are all Hamites. They're out there. And they live off the land, and they do a lot. The Aborigines, when Cook discovered the Cook Island, you know, Australia, he discovered one of the most ancient cultures in the world and one of the most complex as far as medicine goes. The American Indians, the Cherokee Indians in America, were the greatest medical doctors in the world at the time. 70 to 80% of all medicine in the world today was originally used by the Hamite culture. That's where it came from. They invented almost all the pharmaceutical medicines. They invented medicine, they invented surgery, they invented dentistry. They invented the postal service. They invented gunpowder. They invented the flush toilet. All of these things were all Hamites. When the first Europeans came to America, they went into cities, and almost all of the Hamite cultures in North America were of what we call a democracy. Okay? But it was a socialist democracy. And in South America, they went down there and they saw cities bigger than anything in Europe. There was nothing compared in Europe to those cities. And those cities were clean. In Europe, there was disease and bacteria that was just on everything and everybody. I'll give you a little history lesson here, along with all this. When they came here, there was between 100 and 150 million Indians on these continents. Within 100 years, 100 million of them had died from disease and exposure to bacteria that was killing them. That killed them. Europeans had become immune to it because they lived and they wallowed in filth. The streets were open sewers. When they went into the cities down in South America and they saw all of these people there and they were all clean, and every Indian that ever looked at a European, they looked at, whoa, look at that filthy, stinky smelling thing. How do they even stay alive smelling and looking like that? Filthy people. When they went down there, they said, nobody's hungry. There aren't any sick people here. These people live a long time. Europe, they're dying at 30 years old. And this is one of the greatest cultures in the ancient Middle East world. With all the medicine, all the writing that Jehovah has decided to challenge. But they have a false religion. False religion. All of these over here in South America, all the Indians were basically, a lot of it was demonic. North America was a lot different. The North American Indians were a lot more, all man came from one place. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's it. That's where everybody comes from. We're all brothers. All your blood is going to run together in DNA. You're going to find that. You do your DNA. You know what it's going to do? No evolutionist ought to be able to see this. They ought to be able to, I mean, you can't stand, evolution can't stand science, reality. You take your DNA and you're going to see it. It's going to go right back to the Fertile Crescent. Right there is where it's going to go. North Africa and the Fertile Crescent, that's where everybody comes from. And guess what? That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth, and that's how the Indians got over here. God divided, and he divided the languages, and he confused the Hamite languages more than he did anyone else's. Okay. Going a little further. In order that I might declare my name in all of the land, and this was the most advanced culture in the whole Middle East world. And he's going to challenge this society that's got the best medical doctors, everything. Almost all of these priests over there were doctors. And God, their doctors were failing them. They were failing them. They couldn't overcome. He sent anthrax on the cattle. Wiped them out. He sent a staph infection, and their doctors couldn't cure it. All right, 9:17. Odka mishtolel bi'ami levilti shalakim. You still, you continuously exalting yourself. That's a Hittite participle. You're exalting yourself against my family. That word ami there, that means be ami, that's a preposition, be, page 88, and then ami, page 766. You're exalting yourself against my people all the time. Now these people, most of them were slaves. But who were the Levites? Levites. What does Levi mean? Levi. Louis. What does Levi mean? Dakota, you remember what Levi means? Levi? Sharon, you remember what Levi means? That means joined. When Levi was joined, his mother said, now my husband will be joined to me. When he was born, he said, now my husband will be joined, and she named him Levi. He'll love me. Now I have him another boy. Okay? You're exalting yourself against my family. That word ami there means my family. And then we have levilti and to not. Send them away. You haven't shot them away. Pharaoh finally runs them plumb off. The first Pharaoh that encountered Abraham, after Abraham come there and lied to him, you know, here was a lying prophet. Abraham was a lying prophet. He was pretty good at lying. Okay, he went over there and he lied. He sold his wife to Pharaoh. He got Hagar
and a whole bunch of other people, a lot of camels, and a lot of goats and sheep and cattle and everything else. He just lined these, and gold and silver. He became rich by selling her. And then Pharaoh's bunch got sick. They got sick. God closed up their wounds. Woman didn't have a womb anymore. She didn't have an opening. Nothing. Something happened here. Something miraculous here. And since I got this woman, that's when it happened. So he accosts Abraham and said, what have you done to me? And God appeared to him in a dream. You remember what he did? Appeared to him in a dream. He said, don't you touch him. I'll kill you. You have him pray for you. I'll kill you. That's my lying prophet. My lying prophet. And he prayed for him, and he said, get out of the land, go. Hey, take everything with you. Take everything you want. And it's going to happen again. Right here. We're going to find out they took a lot. They spoiled Egypt. God spoiled Egypt. Jehovah spoiled Egypt. Hene, behold, Mamtir, Koet, Machar, Barad, Kaved, Meod, Asher, Lo, Hayah, Kamohu, Bimitzraim, Lamin, Hayom, He Wash, Sida, Wiad, Ata. Now here, God is going to get power over the sky goddess. What's her name? What's the sky goddess of Egypt's name? Her name was Nut, just like a nut, like a pecan nut or walnut. Okay, like Nut. Okay, her name is Nut. And behold, I shall cause to rain. I shall be causing to rain about this time tomorrow. Hail. Look at that word, hail. Barad. Say barad. Barad. It's kind of got a roll an R in there. Barad. You know, kind of like Spanish. Kaved. Heavy. Exceedingly meod. Asher, which. That's a particle of relation. And then we have an adverb of negation. That's low. Okay. The adverb of negation in Greek is uk. Uk. All right. And that is an active negation. When you've got an adverb, you've got something that's acting. All right? Exceedingly which not, it has become like in Egypt. Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim? We have be Mitzrayim. Be is a preposition in Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim or Egypt mean? Remember what that means?
It's street.
Huh?
Street.
It means a land of red mud and canal banks. Because it was an irrigated. That's not dry land farming down there. This is irrigated farming. That's why they still had crops in Egypt, okay, when Joseph was down there, because they had irrigated farms. In America, we have droughts where they don't have irrigation. And then it says, to from. Lamin, that's what it means. To from. The day. Ha, and then Yom is day. The day. Ha-wa-si-de, from being set together, from her being set together. That's what it literally means, from her being set together. It's infinitive construct, nithel, third person feminine, the subject is third person feminine. Since being put together, and until, and there we have the word odd there, we is and until, and that's got a time element, until. Ata now. 919 A. We ata. Shila. Haez. Et. Miknika. We et. Call. Asher. Lika. Basade. Call. Ha Adam. We habihima. Asher. Yemasi. Basadeh, we lo, ye aseh, ha baita, we yarod, alehem, ha barod, wa mitu. And now, shoot away, send away, bring into security and safety, ha'ez, that's masculine, senior, hifel, imperative, your cattle. Now, the Lord takes care of cattle. He takes care of animals. When God created animals on this earth, He did not create them for your food. Did you know that? That wasn't the reason why He created them. He created them to be man's companions. They didn't become food until after the flood. And now this is going to shock people today, because, but when you study the law of Moses and you study God's way, He always protects animals. You know why God created the Sabbath? Huh? For men and animals to rest. It's for the animals as much as it was for men. Because they all outworked these ox and donkeys and horses hard. And He gave them a day of rest. They were supposed to have a day of rest. Right? The animals. And not only the animals, God would not allow His Jewish people to castrate any animal. They could not do that. Now today, with all, you know, when you got steers, a steer is a castrated bull. That's totally unlawful in the Word of God. Did you know that? When they caponize chickens to make them grow faster, that's a miserable thing to do to a chicken or a rooster. They go in and cut into the back and take their testicles out of them. That's unlawful as far as the law of Moses goes. Not supposed to do that. Dogs, anything like that, God looks over them. Because He, sex is pleasure. And they deserve that gift. And that should not be taken away from them. And that's why He said that. Now, in the Old Testament, bulls are kind of rough characters, aren't they? Okay? If you had a bull that was really bad and got mean and everything else, you were supposed to take and kill him. Because he's too dangerous to turn loose on society. Okay? You didn't castrate him, turn him into an ox or a steer. You killed him because he still had rights. That's what you call animal rights. There's animal rights in the Bible. All right? All right. You shall bring your cattle in. God's watching over the cattle. These are the Jewish cattle, and these are the Egyptian cattle. Just because God is going to bring all of this judgment down on Egypt and Pharaoh, He don't want to hurt the animals. If they'll listen. Okay, you don't want to hurt the animal. So He take them in. He said, you take your cattle and all which to you in the field, in the pastures. The word is shod. Shod. First, what's that shod mean? What does that mean? El Shaddai. That's a title of God, isn't it?
Moist.
Oh, it means moist. El Shaddai means what? In Hebrew. The most powerful God Almighty. But what it means, El is God, and Shad is breast, the woman's breast, which has the moisture of milk for babies. Okay? And the word Shad here also means moisture, the land, the pasture land. The land that every night that there's moisture come up, and we have a dew point out there where it waters the land. You go out there along the highways, even out in the desert, and around rock piles and stuff, you see what? You see sprouts of weeds coming up. Because the rocks draw moisture. Okay. In the field. And then all, which I didn't put the translation down there. Call is all, always. Call is all. All the mankind. Bring in all your mankind. Don't you leave anybody out in the field. Don't leave shepherds out in the field. You bring them in and you put them in enclosures. You put them in sheepfolds, in the caves or whatever. And the beasts, the large animals. What kind of beasts of burden did they have back there? This is the word behemoth. Behemoth, page 96 in Brown Dragon Brace. What is a large animal?
Elephant.
Elephant? Oxen? Yeah, camels. Big horse, big draft horses. You know, they had some big horses. All of those are large animals. Even hippopotamuses. You know what's the most dangerous animal in Africa? Hippopotamus. And what does hippopotamus mean? That's a Greek word. Hippopotamus. What does that mean?
Hippo means horse, and Ptolemy means river horse. When they saw those, they said, the horse is in the river. River horse.
All right, the beasts which are found keep on being found in the field or the pasture, and not assembled. You need to assemble into your household, into your shelters. And it shall come down upon them the hail, and they shall die. They shall have died, is literally what it means. Third person, construct, plural, cal, wow, consecutive, perfect. This is what you call future perfect. When God spoke this, it's as good as done. It's as good as done. Let's go into 9:20. Now we find out that some believed and followed God's orders. Some did not. That's just the way it is up today. Some people get saved, some people reject God. All right? 9:20. Hayare. Et. Devar. Hadavar. Mi abde. Herol. Henes. Et. Abadal. We et. Mik. Miknihu. El. Habatim. Young lady, you're pretty good at this. The one fearing, that means continuously, masculine, singular, participle, calstin. The one fearing the word. See, et, sign of direct object. The one fearing the word of Jehovah. And we're going to call Jehovah as Hadavar. And in the New Testament, when John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and all this kind of stuff. And the Word. And we handled the Word. We did all of this. You know, John uses this a lot. What's he using? He's using the word Jehovah. That's what we call a Hebraism. It's not a Greek idea of logos. This is a Hebraism. And here you see it over and over and over in the Old Testament. The word, Hadavar, Jehovah. Jehovah the Word. Mi abde, from your servants. This here is slaves. Abed, Abed is slaves. In the New Testament, it's the word doulos. It means somebody that's bond and in chains. Bound and in chains. A Pharaoh. And he made to flee. He made to run. He put to flight his slaves and his cattle unto their houses. Some of them believed. When he told them Jehovah was going to do this, some of them believed. 9:21. Moving along here. Where did we start tonight? 15. We started at 15. We're in 21 right now. We've covered a little bit of ground. A lot of history, didn't we? Wa'isher. Lo. Psalm. Libo. El. Devar. Hadavar. Why Ya'azu. Zub. Zub. Et. Abadah, we have Miknehu, Basadah. And he who not did direct his heart unto the Word. He didn't direct his heart unto the Word God, the Word Jehovah. Look at that word. Devar Hadavar. That's what you would look at it. That's what they would be talking about in Hebrew. The Var, the Word of God, His edicts, and then Hadavar, the living Word. Y-Yah-Azu. Y-Yah-Azu. And he left or turned loose his slaves and his cattle in the field, in the moist land, in the prairie land, the pastures and meadows. Meadow is a real good word for that. Wyomer. Hadavar. El Moshe. Nite. Et. Yadika. Al Hashemayim. Wihi. Varad. Biko. Eretz. Mitzrayim. Al Ha'adam. We all. Ha'bihima. We all. Kal. Esev. Hasadei, Be'eretz, Mitzrayim. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah, Hadavar, the Word. Do you understand this now? John 1 and 1, John 1, 14, John 1, 18. This is the one. This is Jehovah right here. Alright? This is who John was talking about. Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? It comes from the root. Hayah. That's it. Page 224, Brown, Driver, Big, page 243, and Kohler and Bumgarner. And that's the word to become. And John 1:14 says, Ha-ho-lo-go starts again. So, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh, He became. It's aorist tense and it's middle voice. He brought Himself out of space into, out of eternity into space and time. God did. So He could redeem us. And He said and kept on saying Jehovah unto Moshe. What does Moshe mean? Moses. What does Moses mean? To rescue or to grow out. And Pharaoh's daughter, and her name was daughter of the daughter of God. That's what her name was. That you find that out in the book of Jasher. Find her name. She said, I will draw him out. I will rescue him. And Moses rescued his people. That was prophetic. And to stretch out, to shoot out your hand unto the heavens, the Hashemayim. What does Hashemayim mean? Ha is the, and then Shamayim. The uplifted waters. The uplifted waters. Here's the earth. Right here's the earth. And above the earth, before the flood, there was an ocean in the sky. Great big ocean in the sky. The whole around the earth was like a bubble, and there was this billions of acre feet of water up there. And then when the flood came, there was three sources of water. What were the three sources of water? Huh? Rain. Rain, which they had never seen before. And then it said the fountains of the Pigay, the fountains of the deep came up. And what else? The floodgates of the oceans in the sky. There were rivers running down from the oceans in the sky. Rivers coming down to the earth. Rivers. Did you ever look at that before like that? Rivers from the oceans in the sky. God dumped all that water in heaven, and it was held in suspension above the earth. And that's why they lived so long, too. It was kind of a canopy over the earth. The earth was like a big greenhouse. Okay? And He opened up the floodgates of the rivers, and it was flowing down in rivers to the earth. Now today, there's a lot of water in the sky. A lot of people don't believe that the earth had water suspended above it. That's what Hashemayim means. Hashemayim. In Genesis 1:1 it says, Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim we at hearts. Say that. All right. Barashith. All right. Bara. Elohim. Et Hashemayim. We. Et. Haaretz. In one of the beginnings, Barashith, the word Rosh, that means head, in one of the beginnings, created, completely finished, the word created there, it is a perfect tense. He had created the heavens, Hashemayim. Now there, the word heavens means the whole universe. The whole universe, all the planets and everything else. Then it says, we et haaretz. And after He created the whole universe, then He took the little old earth and put it exactly right where it be. The only planet with enough water, with enough heat, with enough coldness to sustain life. Isn't that something? To sustain life. That's what He put it. And that's the order in which He did it. All right. The word Hashemai here means the uplift of waters. Now all these scientists that don't believe that water could have suspended in an ocean above the sky, yet they can get 24 inches of rain in a day sometimes. Now, God's transporting water up there, people, I'm telling you. And it's in the sky, isn't it? He comes down to earth in great gorges and almost like those rivers. See? Floods all over the place. Look what happened to Louisiana. New Orleans. wiped the place plumb out, didn't he? Put it underwater. Mm-hmm. God moved enough water there, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Why would he have any trouble putting the ocean in the sky? He can do anything. All right, let's go on. And he said, Jehovah, and he kept on saying Jehovah unto Moses, stretch out your hand unto the heavens, and he became hail. Hail is masculine gender. No, hail is masculine gender. He became hail in all the land of Egypt. In all the land of Egypt. All the lands of Egypt. How many different countries were in Egypt when Joseph came to power? 70 different languages. Joseph, before he could be ruler of Egypt, the book of Jasher said he had to learn all 70 of those languages. The 70 steps went up to the throne of Pharaoh, and every time you went up there, you had to recite something in that language of all the languages of the people so that you could rule all the people in a conscious, fair way. All right? And God, Jehovah, it says in the book of Jasher, taught Joseph how to speak all those languages. Not all the heads of Egypt were for him becoming the head, but he went up there and he ascended right up to the throne. If you could only speak three languages, that means you went up three steps. But Joseph went all the way to the throne of Pharaoh and spoke the languages all the way up. All right. Is that something new to you guys? All right. Let's go with the rest of this one. All upon the mankind, Ha-Adam. This is what we call the Adamic race. And all of the large cattle, the Ha-Behemah, and then all of the vegetation. All of the vegetation, SF. And all the pasture land. All of the meadows in the land of Egypt. The land of red bud and canal bud. Do you have any questions? Any questions? We'll quit right there for tonight. We went from 9:15 to 22. Do you have any questions? Young lady, you got any questions? Nope. Dakota, you got any questions? Eric, do you have any questions? How about you? There's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
When you start looking at this language and unfolding that language, there's a lot of gold. There's a gold mine in there and diamonds and jewels of all sorts in there. And especially when you start, don't ever be afraid of studying the Bible in such depth that this goes beyond understanding. Because you're never going to have anything that hurts your faith. All it's going to do is build your faith. You study science and medicine, it's going to agree with God, God's Word. You know, the Catholic Church one time said the earth was flat. Galileo come up and said the earth was round, and they jailed him, they beat him, they threatened to kill him unless he recounted his knowledge. But I'll guarantee you, the Bible never said the earth was flat. He said the earth was round. He said it's set in a circuit in the universe. It's set in a circuit. There's planets. The word planet is there. All right, planets have. There, in the book of Job and in the book of Psalms, you find out they have their little pathways, the roads that they travel in. And Adam knew all about this. Man didn't get smarter. Man got dumber for a long time. What the Catholic Church brought upon mankind was the Dark Ages. Took the Bible away from them, took understanding away from them. And then we had the Dark Ages. And the bad thing about that, the Muslim world was in their Renaissance at that time. That's when they invented the algebra. That's where we have the Arabic numerals and all that kind of stuff. But the American Indians over here, these little Hamites, had figured that out long before they ever did in Egypt. The oldest mummies in the world are in South America. The largest cities in the world, the highest population in the world was here. Europe and Asia was starving to death. When Columbus came over here, he took food back with him. He took potatoes, he took tomatoes, he took melons, beans, peppers, all kinds of stuff back in Europe, which they never had, and corn, which the American Indians had genetically engineered all of these things. Tomato is a, how many of you ever seen the wild nightshade? Got little berries on them, and they're poisonous. They can be They took nightshade berries and turned them into tomatoes. And a potato is a nightshade. It's a poisonous plant. But they turned it into potatoes and they had all kinds of potatoes. All this came from, and corn. Corn was developed, genetically engineered by the American Indians. And they had to teach these dumb white people when they came here how to even stay alive. And then they turned on them, of course, tried to make slaves out of them. All of these little things are in the Bible. Did you know that? All this stuff. And in the King James Bible, it said, and they reaped corn in the field. They didn't have any corn over in Europe. Corn came from here. They didn't have any corn over there. But when King James was translated, they forgot that they didn't have corn before Columbus. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And we'll turn you loose out there. Go out and do something eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for opening our mind to it and our hearts to it and our spirits to you. Forgive us for our failure. Help us each to go out and do something eternal this week. Help us to touch people's lives with your word, that they might come to know you and that they might also come to follow you with their lives. Thank you for the students we have here and out in the world that listen to these classes every week. I pray that you build them up and enlighten them and build their faith up. Help them understand what the Word of God says, and so that they can boldly go out and deal with atheists and agnostics and all kinds of unbelievers, and maybe some of them can come to you and become saved and have an eternal life. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and for your sake and your honor and your glory. Amen.